go, so you don't have to press one today. So Krist and I wasn't at the, I was at NAAEE, but not the workshop beforehand. So do you want to start us off with that?
Sure. Let's see. We ended up with about, I think it, we had 13, but that's including Frank for half the day. So I don't know if he really counts. he was there for support. You know, it
has arrived.
Who's here?
Who just came in?
Bora.
Hi, Bora.
Oh, hello there.
We were just debriefing the workshop to start off.
Yeah, just starting.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Started. And it worked out really well, I think, with considering actually none of us had ever met face to face, and the participants had a lot of positive things to say. Technology worked well. I don't know, all in all, I thought it was a nice, concise intro to science, how to teach it, activities, and I guess that's all I can say. You can see more at that little virtual overview of the content on it, but I don't know, do you have any specific questions about it? Carolyn, I know you wanted sort of an overview.
Yeah, I just kind of want to see if there's optimism in the air, if people feel like we're making a dent in this.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was interesting. I should say the audience, I believe we had one middle school teacher, but the rest of them were all informal educators, which we were prepared for, just knowing that it was, you know, NAAEE is a lot of informal ed. But there was a lot of park service, a number of actually, I think, park service and CCP project from the southeast was there, I believe, and some folks doing some higher ed focused climate change ed, and they all seemed optimistic about, I mean, what they were hearing about, and they all seemed to have a little bit of a background also in already doing this. So,
right.
I don't know, if Karen gets on the call, the session she did with Hungerford and Volk and Noah Pigsteffen and Frank Niepold was excellent on teaching controversy, and that would have been actually probably a place where more of a philosophical discussion of, you know, where we are and what's going on.
Right.
Yeah, and that session was standing room only.
Yeah, I was lucky to get a seat.
Yeah, me too.
Put them in such a small room.
Yeah, hopefully Karen will come in and be able to talk about that. But since Kristen and I were in the room, maybe if Karen doesn't appear, we can say a bit about it anyway. Mm-hmm. And I can say a bit about the Federal Funders Symposium, which had a bigger crowd than last year, but still not as big as I would have liked. I think we topped out at a little over 20, and it was very well received. I mean, all four of the panelists, we had Ed Geary from NSF, Lynn Chambers from NASA, Karen, oh dear, I'm drawing
Karen has arrived.
That's her. Karen from EPA and I should have pulled this up before we started. Noah, we had Schettinger from NORA, Sarah Schettinger. I think that's how that's pronounced. And they all seemed to, all the program officers thought that it went well and were asked good questions and had lots of people hanging around asking more questions afterwards. And I think two of them asked if we're going to do it again same time next year. So, and I have all their slides if anybody wants them. You can just send me an email or or something, I guess, or I could send them out to the list, I guess. I did another a number of sessions that were more Earth systems related than directly climate related at both GSA and AAEE. So I can say a little bit about those, but we were just who were we just joined by a minute ago?
Karen just arrived.
Hi, Karen. How you doing? So we were talking a little bit, but said we'd wait to talk about your session until you appeared. So do you want to talk about your session? Do you want to ask us questions about what we've been talking about?
Well, I had an interesting conversation with one of the co-chairs of the sustainability interest group.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that Ed Geary spent a lot of time with them and seemed to be very interested in funding something.
Yes.
And was touting the discretionary funds that he as a rotator had available to him and that all program officers have available. And so the sustainability folks are planning on meeting with Ed and going to him with a proposal for funding.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if there were any similar conversations with Ed or any of the other panel members in the ongoing time after the session.
Yeah, I actually had a similar conversation with Ed. I don't remember if it was before or after, but he is deeply interested in sustainability issues and has been looking into effective practices in sustainability education. Our conversation was not long, but it was long enough for me to understand that he's been looking at it and has some ideas about things that are working. That was about the length of the conversation we had, what I just said.
Because he's a rotator, he's very eager to do something immediately because he doesn't want his time to run out before he gets it nailed down. So I didn't have a chance to talk with him directly, but I think it's something that's worthwhile following up on immediately for any group or individual that's in that ballpark.
He's our program officer for our DRK-12 grant, so, and I've known Ed before that, anyway. So I'll be in semi-regular contact with Ed.
Good.
Yeah.
The session that I coordinated was the how to teach about controversial issues, and it was very well attended. They, at one point, they closed the doors and said nobody else could come in, and there were apparently a crowd of people outside who were late arriving who were really ticked off that they didn't get in. And Peg came up to me later on in the conference. Peg, are you on?
I don't believe she is.
Peg came up to me later on in the conference and said that she thought it was really important that the group propose something for the next conference that was even bigger and better because of the level of interest and the follow-up kinds of conversations that she was engaged in. I also got an email from Frank Niepold. Is he on?
No.
No. I don't know that I have it right here in front of me, but basically what he said was that it really got him thinking about the pedagogical approaches and the need to address some of the kinds of things that we discussed in the session, and he's been thinking about that. He said, it's clear to me that the climate literacy, climate change education effort to date has not developed the pedagogical and methodological work for the specific audiences in our lifelong effort.
This is Kristen, who I asked sort of that question at the session. That's exactly where I went. Actually, I went, ooh, this is the PhD question right here. That really, that's fascinating to me to think about that piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And Frank's there, too.
All right.
And so is Don.
Anyway, I thought we had a very good session, and there are questions that arose as a result of it, and I think that's all good.
Yeah, it was really well done.
Yeah, I would agree, and would agree with Peg, and I also talked about the need for a longer session next year, workshop before or something.
Has somebody already talked about the workshop this year?
Yeah, a little bit.
I know Kirsten sent out her note. I'm just wondering whether you picked up any additional participants in addition to the 12 that had pre-registered.
Oh, I thought 9 had pre-registered, so I felt like we did pick some people up. If 12 had pre-registered, then that's what we had. Well, we had 13 because Frank was in for half the day, but we had 12. And actually, you know, we did pick some folks up, I think, because although 12 had pre-registered, one to three did not make it. So then we had some other folks actually came in. So we would have had 15.
Well, a couple weeks ago, because of the low pre-registration, Tamara and Lynn asked if there was anything else we could do to hype it. And and so I sent out emails directed at specific subgroups of the membership and also through the local North Carolina affiliate sent to all of their members.
And we did have a high number.
They were drive-in and more able to pick up at the last minute and sign on. And so I'm glad to hear that there might have been an increase, and I would say that for future reference, we ought to employ those strategies much earlier on than after the deadline for registration.
Yeah, exactly. We learned.
Can somebody rephrase that PhD question again? I'm trying to think about it a little bit.
Well, the way that Frank wrote it in his email is it is clear to me that the climate literacy / climate change education effort to date has not developed the pedagogical and methodological work for the specific audiences in our lifelong effort. And then he went on to say that Trudy and Harold showed a rich research basis for how to teach middle school students, not what to teach, and that he felt that the climate literacy, climate change education group, I'm inferring now, could benefit from more of that kind of approach. And Trudy Volk and Harold Hungerford, for those of you who aren't in the environmental education community and don't know those names, they have been pursuing this question of how do you teach controversial issues for at least 30 years that I know of, and
right.
have had very large math science partnership, NSF grants, all sorts of grants, and have done many, many evaluation studies in addition to having a dozen or so PhD students do their dissertations on this topic. So they do have a very rich research base for their work.
Yeah, I quote them often, and I do like their thinking. They're asking the right questions. They're just very difficult to answer. So, I do, you know, my whole thing on pedagogy, and I kind of have enjoyed this whole climate literacy network, especially the K-12 focus, in understanding how you're trying to get the teachers. But I am so much more, as a science teacher myself, I'm so much more into the engagement models of pedagogy today because that's how these kids are learning in self-directed ways, and it's about us provoking it. So I'm presenting next week on the CLEO project, which is not a curriculum, but it is a pedagogical attack on the problem to try and have people own the question. And I'd be interested in your feedback. I'm getting good response in the community. I'm only just launching it now, but I think the conflict I have with climate change education and what we're doing is teachers are getting much more able to use our resources to do the kinds of hands-on critical thinking teaching we want done. but it's not trickling out. And I think what Frank is suggesting to all the audiences, if you were to break them down, we're getting teachers' classes, and I don't know what's going on beyond that. So there's not a continuum, and there's not a message coming at them in multiple disciplines and in multiple life places and spaces in their worlds that ties it all together. I think it was even Hungerford that talked about when interdisciplinary teaching and learning is happening, these productive collisions occur in the mind of the learner, and the learning is sustained and meaningful. And I think that's what I'm really trying to weave in this climate change education and engagement part of my life. You know, how do we do that? How do we give this kind of learning meaning beyond the science classroom and in a planned but open-ended way? I don't know. I'm wrestling with this. So you know this Occupy Wall Street? Well, my campaign is Occupy the Polls. I'm trying to get the voting public to get out there and vote. Yeah. You know?
Indeed.
I mean, if you really want... This is my problem with... I did my practice session on the CLIO project for the Youth Task Force on answering the question what climate change is all about from my perspective and what my role is. And so they were really pushing me about what my role is, you know, you Miss Educator, you Miss whatever you are. And so I said, well, my role, and I'll get it down to three things, is to steep myself in information so I'm an informed consumer. My role is to vote and to hold my elected officials accountable, so I have all of them on speed dial and on my email distribution list, and I know who to speak to. And my role, because I'm an educator, is to think about ways to engage the public. So I'm doing my part, and so they kind of felt relieved that I wasn't telling them to go buy hybrids and, you know, live in a way that they can't afford. But I think we need to get people to own their role in all of this and then be more open to the learning. So much climate change information. My God, I have come a long way, but I am a novice in terms of the content and understanding of it. So,
I think what Trudy and Harold were saying on the panel and what Frank was referring to is their emphasis on the skills and abilities that individuals need to deal with information.
Right.
And to deal with controversial issues, not the information itself, and not teaching the substance of the issues so much as teaching the skills and abilities that individuals need to have to do everything from filter information, identify biases, to collect information, seek information, who to talk to, and how to go about engaging in addressing controversial issues.
So it's like a media literacy and a lens analysis.
An investigative approach, and then action based on all that you've investigated and analyzed and figured out as viable options.
Yeah, it's a pretty rich model because it does go past the media literacy and the basics of critical thinking, because it really does go into sort of how do you go about investigating issues and looking at your own values and the values and attitudes of others and beliefs, and how do you then decide what types of actions can be taken and should be taken and by whom. And so it's a very rich model.
It is, and it's probably a massive web, because, you know, the individualism and the learning styles today are so unwieldy. I mean, it's hard to even know how to begin with the readiness level of learners of the same audience, you know what I'm saying? In terms of being ready to take on the fight of taking the steps to understand and filter and be critical thinkers. I mean, they're thinking in sound bites, they're getting information. And I'm talking about the lay public here, not the scientific community. And so my thing is, how do we get people who are starting to think in tweets and sound bites to care about recognizing that they need a stronger filter or a more critical mind, or to weigh the options before they decide on action, or even to decide on action? So I'm the social scientists have really got me thinking about the messenger and the engagement and all of that. And I think they're going to have to marry each other for this to be figured out, because learning today is so different. I'm not talking classroom learning only, but just, you know, how these kids, how young people, how professionals. I mean, I'm 53, and I'm getting all my stuff from the internet now, and I'm still trying to read 2 newspapers a day, but I don't have time to read things carefully, and I'm just getting headlines and skimming. I don't know about the rest of you. Something gets your attention, you climb into it, and great, but there's an overload of information, and I don't know how people can be expected to manage it. You know, I think steps are needed, and I think, you know, outlines and models are essential. But I think we've got a much bigger problem here. And if climate change needs to be acted on as a country, and we can stop being the laughing stock of the world, how do we engage to even get them to want that next level? Sorry, I don't mean to be too philosophical, and I hate to do this. I got a soul.
And now
I'm going to leave you with that bomb and say goodbye.
Thanks.
No, I love thinking you through, and I really hope that, you know, I can get some answers from some of yours, some thoughts, because I don't think there's any one answer, as we all know, but we got to keep trying, yeah? So I really do have to run. I'm so sorry. But keep talking. I'll listen to the tape later.
All right.
Bye-bye. Caroline Lewis
has left the conference.
Other things to talk about? On that, or do we want to continue what the bomb that Caroline dropped on us? One of the things that came to my mind during that discussion was a discussion that I had with Chris Sperry, who's with Project Look Sharp at Ithaca College, which is a project focused on largely on media literacy, and they've developed a pretty impressive set of resources related to how the media portrays climate change. His session and my session overlapped, so I only saw part of his session, though he and I have talked a tiny bit before. And I'll send out the link for their materials. I talked to him about the Climate Literacy Network, and he'd be willing to join us and present on Project Look Sharp. And I think it is mostly focused on critical reading of media. Which I know we were just talking about going beyond that, but I think it does a nice job of that particular piece, and I think he does actually do things that go beyond it. He's actually a part-time high school teacher in Lehman Alternative Community School, which is an alternative public school in Ithaca, and part-time at Project Look Sharp. So I'll send a link, and we can think about whether we want to have him talk with us.
Good.
So are we done?
seems to me there were some other sessions. I don't know whether Nick is on the call. Is he?
He did not identify himself when he came on, if he is.
So we don't have all the sessions that were presented at NAAEE represented on the phone, do we?
No, I don't think so. And I didn't say much about my Marcellus session, but my Marcellus session ended up feeling so much like it was my last, my eighth session in eight days, because it was.
It was very well attended, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, for me, I think if there's any take-home message from the NAAEE presentations, it's this question of whether, as a network, we attempt to propose something for next year, and if so, do we deal with the question of pedagogy and methodology, and if so, who's interested? Because those proposals are going to be due fairly soon.
Well, I would be interested in the controversial topics session.
I think I would as well. It would be really, it would be a different audience to target too. We could get some interesting folks, I think, kind of thinking about that.
Certainly a larger audience.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and one of the things to remember is that it's pretty typical at NAAE that you get somewhere around a third of the people who are new to the conference.
Mm-hmm.
So that was true this year, it was true in Buffalo, and being in Oakland next year, I would expect it's going to draw a lot from the Pacific Coast. So there will be that influx of new folks, which is mm-hmm. always a great thing.
Yep.
So it's going to be in Oakland next year?
Yes. Just about the same time. Karen, do you remember? It's like October 10th or something. I should know this. But
I'm in front of my computer. I'll tell you in a second here.
You know what the venue is going to be?
You know, I don't know.
I think it's at the Marriott and the... They said where, but I can't remember.
Yeah, somehow I remember something about Jack London Square, but I may also be making that up. I'm looking at the... But in any case, it'll be announced soon. But it is Oakland.
Oh, no, that's not... I thought it was up. Oakland.
Ah, yeah, it's October 10th through the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Call for presentations, as Karen mentioned, which should be coming out sometime soon over the next month or so. And it just says, in the program, it just says Oakland. It doesn't give the venue.
Yeah.
Oakland Convention Center. Ah. I've got on one page I'm on here.
Okay.
You know, I think the piece that interests me the most, and by the way, I will be in Oakland next, actually starting in a couple weeks, because I'm moving from CU to the National Center for Science Education, which is based in Oakland. And the piece that I'm most interested in is certainly broader than climate literacy. You know, I'm very keen on the work that John Miller has done around civic science literacy, and there's obviously overlap with the different Earth system literacies that we've been involved with, as well as media literacy that Don was mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think that that could be an interesting theme, sort of going beyond our somewhat narrowly focused work on climate and related topics to more broadly, how do we define civic science literacy
mm-hmm.
for the 20th century? and, you know, what are the key things that people really need to know to be able to make informed decisions and, you know, be able to weigh evidence without necessarily having to be a PhD researcher. So that's certainly something I'd be interested in helping to organize.
Yeah, and actually related to that, there Frank mentioned in a previous call that there's some people working on beginning to work on defining environmental ecological literacy, including from a social science perspective, and it looks like that will lead to a National Research Council report. And I'm drawing a blank on the woman's name that I talked to from the Ecological Society of America, Teresa something.
Teresa Murad.
There we go. That's right, Teresa Murad. So they are planning to work quickly and identify people to be involved in that effort by the end of this month. So
There's a NRC roundtable workshop, whatever they call themselves, that's happening in mid-November that is looking at some of that, types of issues. It's a broader topic of looking at the behavioral sciences.
Mm-hmm.
They connect in, but it's not for climate and it's not specifically for environmentalists. It's a much broader piece.
So as facilitator, I'm making good use of wait time right now.
You're doing the good wait time modeling.
Yes. Mark, do you want to say a little bit about the news that you just hinted at there? You're moving to NCSE?
Well, I was offered a job at National Center for Science Education as director of their new climate initiative. What that entails isn't quite clear. But, you know, as those of you who are familiar with Eugenie Scott and the folks at NCSE, they've been mainly focused over the years on evolution and the teaching of evolution in classrooms in particular, and trying to help out teachers and administrators and so forth whenever the so-called controversy around evolution comes up. So I'll be transitioning over the next 2 months I'll be kind of working half-time at Ceres to finish up some of the work I've been involved with CLEAN, and then getting settled in to the Bay Area. So I'll be at the Fall AGU, which is the first week of December in San Francisco, representing CLEAN and kind of finishing things up with Ceres. And I'm actually going out to try to find a place to live the end of next week. And just to kind of get started, getting oriented to Oakland and the work of NCSE. Have any of you worked with them before, or are you familiar with them?
I'm familiar with them. I've met Eugenie a number of times in various places and like their work. Published a little article in the journal a million years ago.
Is this in it so that they would expand from primarily, in my experience anyway, focusing on evolution to focusing on evolution and having a similar effort on climate change? Is that
right? Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So I think, I mean, again, their strength has been in being able to help when there's a flare-up in a school district or in a classroom and provide sort of guidance and, in effect, consulting insight into how best to deal with the controversy, but I think they're still not quite clear what they want to do with it, and so that's, I think, certainly the first 6 months or so of my job will be getting a sense of what the needs of their community is. They've got a very large community. They've got like 15,000 friends on their Facebook page. and a lot of due-paying members. The position is actually an endowed position, so I won't be reliant on soft money for a change.
Nice.
But they have very close relationships with some of the folks at UC Berkeley that have been developing some of these web resources and professional development around the teaching of science in general and evolution in particular. So I think there could be some interesting ways of kind of leveraging that, and you know, relevant to the discussion about the pedagogy of climate and science literacy, there's obviously some emerging best practices out there that we need to identify. But on the whole, there's still a tremendous amount of work that needs to be done, I think, and to pull it all together and provide the tools that people need.
They also have very close relationships with the whole infrastructure for science education, including NSTA and the state science supervisors and
right.
whole infrastructure.
Yeah. But climate is definitely a new topic area for them because most of the people that work with them, and certainly Eugenie Scott has strong background in evolution. You know, her background is anthropology, I believe, and a lot of the other folks on the team have similar backgrounds. But I think, in addition to myself, they're likely to bring on another person who's a climate scientist by training, a young man whose name escapes me right now, but he works for Climate Central, which is the group that Heidi Collins is involved with, and they've got links to Princeton and Stanford in particular. But anyhow, we'll just see how things evolve, and I'll keep you posted.
Sounds good. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Shall we call it a wrap? Any other
sure.
news from anybody else? Let's call it a wrap. Okay.
Unless there's another hidden announcement like Mark just gave.
Yeah, indeed. All right. Well, good talking to y'all, and see you same time next week.
All righty. Great. Thanks, Don.
Thanks.
Bye-bye, Don.
Bye.